Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The answer to what question, Junior? That was interesting. Shout out to Dr. Daniel Nason, who helps me out here. My dentist. Y'all, I have an appointment tomorrow. Your girl is nervous. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogunbowale and Mike Golic Jr. both in L.A., baby. We're both in Los Angeles. Now, we're not doing the show in the same room because of just life and protocols and all that type of stuff. But I'll take what we can get. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Junior, I mean, I feel very good right now that you're within my vicinity. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put it out there so I can't flake. I'm going to invite Michael Jr. to a meal, and we're going to turn up. And we're going to, like, hang out. Are you ready for this, Junior?
I am very ready for this, Janae. Because I said, like, we've been doing this show over 7 months at this point now. And we've always been doing it from opposite coasts here. So we got to get together. We got to break bread. And most importantly, we got to plot and scheme. Because that feels like what we're supposed to do in an instance like this.
Most importantly, I'm picking the restaurant. Because we know your history with seasoning. Okay? Now, you all heard in the SportsCenter update by the one and only, the great Christine Lisi, giving us a heads up on what's happening with the Brooklyn Nets now that Kyrie and James Harden are out for the pivotal game 5. That's tomorrow. We'll dive more so into the games tonight in about 10 minutes with the Sixers and Hawks. But yeah, that was the big news. I'm excited for the game tonight, though, Junior, because everyone sort of has a chance this year. And it highlights the idea of unpredictability this NBA postseason. So I have a number for you, because usually you're the one who goes in and gets all these fun facts and stats. And I have a new podcast coming out tomorrow, y'all. And I was trying to think overall on the state of the NBA. And so here's the interesting fact. And I want you guys to guess which team this applies to. Okay. Everyone on our show can guess. Here it is. Of the remaining teams, one of the remaining teams won the last championship of the remaining ones, right? Like in the NBA postseason, the NBA playoffs. Won the last championship of these remaining teams in 1983. Why do you look like you're looking at Google? 1983.
Not looking
Which
at Google.
Team
I don't know
is
what
it?
You're talking about.
Philadelphia 76ers.
Ugh. How did he
know? Oh, wow. Chris came out of the rafters right
How
now.
How did you know? Okay, who won Finals MVP that year?
Moses Ooh. Malone.
Okay, he cheated. He wow. must have heard this
I'm from Philadelphia. I'm from Philadelphia. I was ingrained with this.
Yeah, hey, today, okay. This is going to shock you. We got a guy on the staff today, on this show, that's from Philadelphia.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
Whoa, I know. You're telling
that
me
never
we
happens.
Have got a bull in the room
that's
right
it.
Now.
It's
a bull.
It's a good
the
John.
The baddest bull. It's a great John. But yes, my point is, Junior, of all the remaining teams, the Suns, the Jazz, the Nets, the Sixers are the team that last won a title in 1983. And my big argument is likely going to be, when you listen to my podcast, that this is a new era for the NBA. You have a lot of young stars that can make names for themselves, steal a championship, and use that to pace the NBA for the future. The unpredictability, Junior, has largely been due to the injuries and stars going in and out. But, you know, is this going to be a tougher postseason to predict, per my estimation, like I've sort of outlined here?
Absolutely. I think it's already been a tougher postseason to predict, Janae. And you mentioned it's because of injury, but we got to look at the places where the injury has come up, because I'm with you. What we know about the championship on a resume and what it does to a player's career, how it can boost it. Like, we saw that in a very different way happen with an MVP for Derrick Rose that probably came too early. We know the circumstances that kind of surround that, but we can see the way those things elevate you in these conversations. And so you're right. A championship for one of these young stars this year is going to matter, even if the road to it gets a lot tougher when everyone gets healthy next year. Because per Elias, and this was before we got the news that now James Harden and Kyrie Irving were going to be out for the game 5 for the Brooklyn Nets against the Milwaukee Bucks. Now 7 different All-Stars have missed a playoff game this year, with Kyrie Irving added to that list, joining already Anthony Davis, James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, Jaylen Brown, and Joel Embiid. That is the most players with all-star appearances that have missed a playoff game all time, Janae. So we have seen unparalleled attrition at the top of the NBA food chain. And I think it's fair to say, because of that, that this year's postseason seems even more unpredictable than the one we just got through that was in a bubble in Orlando. And I know that sounds insane, but with the quick turnaround and the way we've seen it definitely, at least anecdotally, affect teams that made deep runs in the bubble, Janae, I don't know how we can't look at this postseason. And again, not say whoever wins is lesser, but understand this year's been affected in ways that we're probably going to have a hard time recovering from even next year.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Jr., these seasons are hand in hand. I've been saying it all year long. Like, with 71 days in between, they're just inextricably tied together. The limited rest precluded Stars from getting the amount of games that they wanted to get, you know, in the season, even if they wanted to play. I know we talk about load management, but, like, the teams were cautious and worried for the right reasons. And when I look at that bubble season, Jr., while it was unpredictable, it was largely because of the bubble, not necessarily because of the players inside of it. We saw a lot of cute, really amazing, inspirational bubble runs that gave players like Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell confidence to be able to do what they're doing now. But the predictability of, you know, LeBron James in a finals, we sort of knew that he would take down the Miami Heat likely, you know, because he had AD healthy. Like, we sort of knew what that outcome likely could be. It was shocking that the Clippers lost in that fashion too. But now you have the tables turned. Clippers are here, Lakers are not there. But there's a lot of opportunity. Chris Paul finally makes it to the Western Conference Finals. You saw, like, we've been putting on our social medias everywhere how amazing it was for, like, Devin Booker and Chris Paul to hug their families. This is a very different year outside of the bubble, but more unpredictability based on the lingering effects of that bubble.
Yeah, Chinay, when I think it's the reason I would say it's even more, like, out of control is because when we were inside the bubble, you're right, it was different because we were there, because there was a huge gap in the middle of that season. But as far as the things that go into on-court basketball, you had a more controlled environment. You didn't have all the travel in the middle of all this. Obviously, that affected home and road, but it gave us a space where people came into that time period healthier than they normally would have been. The LeBron James-led Lakers are the prime example of a team that was allowed to, with an older player especially leading the charge, get healthy at the right time and go into it. But we got great basketball out of there because of it. With this postseason, unfortunately, it seems like the biggest predictor for what's going to happen in the series has been less in times about in-game adjustments and more just about who's going to be on the court.
Oh, 100%. The number one factor this year, and it's always like that cliche, the best ability is availability, right? Like, we hear that all the time. Being available for your team, like, that's what we hear as athletes. People say, like, do what you need to do. Get rest. Take care of yourself so that you're able to play, you know? And this year, that has been completely torpedoed based on the protections that these franchises and teams have in place for their star players based on what the mileage that they carried from last season, which was not too long ago.
No,
And I think a lot of people think inherently, like, oh, it's tough and it's bad that we don't have, like, the signature teams or the signature players available. But guess what? There are a lot of young cats out there, and I can't believe I'm a person that says young cats. But there are a lot of young people out there that are ready to shoot their shot now. And they've been delivering with signature performances, and that's what's going to pace the future of the NBA.
It has, and I think the timeline got sped up by all this, Chinay, because I remember talking to a coach that was on. When I got to Notre Dame, I was there. Charlie Weiss was the head coach. 2 years in, Charlie was fired, and Brian Kelly took over there for my last 3 years at Notre Dame. And I remember talking to a coach on that prior staff, and they said, we all understand that when that staff gets fired, there's a lot of guys whose lives will change forever because of that. And it's nobody's fault. It's the way it happens. It's the circumstances that come with change. That's kind of what's gone on because of the NBA bubble, where, again, I don't fault the young players for taking advantage of an opportunity. That's what's supposed to happen. But with a lot of the injuries we've seen in key places, we know it's a different set of brand names now in the NBA postseason than we're used to. This timeline got sped up by a circumstance outside of everybody's control. And so it's not a better, worse, lesser than, greater than thing, but it's an acknowledgement that this was, like everyone else in life in this past year, something that happened that changed the course of, I think, a lot of, especially in the near future, what the NBA is going to go through as a league.
Yep. Hey, you know what I say? Cosign, retweet, you roar.
The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in Tuesday for Game 5 as Mike James and the Nets host Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. This is PJ Tucker's team now. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, much better.
Out here balling, getting right. Or I jokingly said last week, Chinay, listen, he is ready for it there. Steve Nash could say whatever he wants right now. I jokingly said, Chinay, teams take on the personalities of their star players, especially during the postseason. And the Bucks, going back to Game 3, decided to just take on the personality of PJ Tucker and start punching people in the face.
Oh, no, I think that's the best thing. And you know, getting him was probably the biggest win for them because he has that mental fortitude to be like, we're not going to settle for that. Let's be great. So I'm here for this.
No, yeah, P.J. Tucker is here for every ounce of that. But coming up next, are the Hawks here for every ounce of what the 76ers have been throwing at them right now? If Joel Embiid keeps playing like this, is there anything the Hawks can do to slow down that train? We'll get to that next. Chenea and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Who is the best team right now in the West in the NBA? Is it Phoenix, Utah? Nightlife there is crazy. The Clippers? I'm joking. We'll get down to the Wild West right after this, but first, it's Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chenea Ogwumike, Michael Jr. Jr., I can't. Like, these Scenics are normally, like, very good for me on ESPN Plus looking at the LA vibes. Now you understand, like, why I'm happy when I see those things, okay?
I finally made my way out to the left coast. For anyone that missed it, I am out in Los Angeles right now. I'm getting ready to begin my tenure as a live in-person LA Sparks superfan this week.
Trying to fully embarrass
Chenea at these games. And I had to start that off with a morning walk by the beach to clear my head. And I tell you what, anyone that lives within 50 yards of the water, your mentals are in a very different place than the rest of ours because, man, life feels good.
I feel bad for our producer, Shannon. Sorry, Shannon. You should have brought him there, too, okay? But we're really grateful to have right now Mark Kestisher join us, ESPN play-by-play announcer who will be on the call tonight for Sixers Hawks. And Kesty, hey, how are you doing? Last time out, Joel Embiid, had 27, 8, and 8, 8 assists. They lost the first game in the series, came back with two nice decisive wins. What do the Hawks need to do to slow Joel Embiid down? Because it looks like he's just unfazed by all of these challenges presented.
Yeah, they've got some work to do. And yes, good afternoon. And I don't root for teams, but if the Clippers happen to make it to the finals, I do enjoy that little spot at JW Marriott downtown. So just thinking of you two on the West Coast,
yes,
that second floor pool or the fourth floor pool, whatever it is. Yeah, I could use some of that sunshine.
And that short
right
commute
now.
To work, right?
Yes, just walk right across the street to Staples Center. That's about as good as it gets. Yeah, the Hawks, look, they got to get back, obviously, to what they did in the first half in game one, and that's, you know, get better looks on their three-pointers, make their three-pointers. I was talking to John Barry, who I'll be on the call with tonight, and, you know, we were going through the box scores of the last couple of games. You know, he's like, look, they're getting progressively worse. 11 three-pointers made in game two, 6 in game three. So I decided to go back into game one and look at since halftime. They're shooting 23, halftime of game one, so we're talking 10 quarters now since. Atlanta's shooting 23% from three, and much of that is the switch that Doc made on a defensive end. They are keeping defenders at all times on the three-point line. I heard Hubie Brown, I was rewatching game three the other day, and you know, Hubie made the astute point that they hassle the three-point shooters, and then they're so good defensively and they're so long that when you have to pass out on the three-point line, they're stealing those passes. And so, you know, we talked with Nate McMillan this morning. Obviously, he wants a better start to the first quarter. You know, they could say that with any coach, but he also wants them to play faster. They need to play faster. They can't allow Philadelphia to set up its defense. Philly's shooting like 55% in the series. They're getting their defense set. They're huge. They've got huge size advantage on a couple of important matchups, including on Trae Young, who's going to, you know, have nightmares about Ben Simmons all offseason long if they don't come back here.
Yeah, Kesty, Trae Young still 28 points in that game, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, but it's been a decidedly different attack strategy against him going back to the fourth quarter of game one. So what more can he do? We see him still finding a way to score, but as a facilitator, as someone creating for the rest of this team here, what do Nate McMillan and this bunch have to put on his plate now?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're just going to try to do it a different way. Neither coach is giving up their starting lineup. We should get it in about 40 minutes or so. I think we're all anticipating a lineup change for Atlanta. If it's a size down, that's my anticipation. Maybe Clint Capella doesn't start. Maybe John Collins slides to the five. They go with a smaller lineup, five out, like we saw the Clippers do against the Utah Jazz the other night, and make Rudy Gobert more of a perimeter defender and, you know, try to get by him. You know, so maybe they go to that respect where they're getting more points in the lane a little different way, you know, just by sucking the defense all the way out. So that's one of the things they could do. And, you know, Doc Rivers was asked about that counter if they go small. you know, what would happen. I mean, obviously he's not going to take Joel Embiid off the floor, but he's confident in his defenders that they, you know, are quick enough against the smaller Atlanta team if they decide to go in that vein. And if and when Joel gets his breaks, you know, they could always slide Ben Simmons over to the five. I mean, Simmons could play any defensive position on the floor, we all know. So you make him more the five. Tobias Harris can defend the four. So he seems confident if Atlanta goes small and goes to that high tempo, that Philly's going to have the correct counter for it.
You know what I love, Kesty? It is a game of adjustments at this point in the year. Mark Kestisher joining us here on ESPN Radio, Chanae Ngoli Jr. And staying in the East, but switching gears to the breaking news, as we've been hearing all over ESPN Radio, that Kyrie Irving and James Harden are out for the big Game 5 Nets-Bucks. And this is probably like one of those scenarios that basketball fans dream of. Kevin Durant with an opportunity to create his own narrative. Do you think that KD has enough juice to be able to take down this Bucks team that is also formidable on defense?
I mean, I do. I don't know if it's going to happen tomorrow, but and it all comes down to the role players that are around him. We've seen, I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I don't know if it was 5 games or 7 games, because all these guys have been in and out of the big three in the James Harden era, if you will, in Brooklyn. And I remember doing a couple of games. We had one game where they had none of the big three. That wasn't fun. But where Kevin was on and the other two guys were off, and, you know, Bruce Brown stepped up. I don't think they had Blake Griffin at that time, but he got Blake. He can't do it all on his own. We know that. They're going to have to get, you know, some contributions. They're also going to have the Bucks play like they played in the first two games in Brooklyn, which is miss a lot of shots, get kind of out of sequence a little bit. P.J. Tucker, we'll see, you know, if he can still continue that very physical defense against Kevin Durant in a road game for Milwaukee. But I think Kevin is talented enough, you know, to at least get his 40, 45. Who knows if he needs 50 points tomorrow. It's going to be a matter of do they have enough. And is this, you know, going to be more of a slower defensive game, you know, like we've seen? I think yesterday, you know, it got back to a more normal score. And I think that favors Milwaukee long term, but that's a lot to ask for in a big situation. I know one thing for the Bucks. I mean, not that they're hoping that anybody gets injured, but it's all right there for them, you know, to take advantage of a team that's down two of their superstars and bring it home, you know, for what could be a clinching game six.
Kesty, we got about a minute left. You mentioned all those factors that hang in the balance here. We saw out in Vegas that the Bucks are now a slight favorite in this series, even though the Nets still a favorite to win it all because of the hope that maybe you can get some of these stars back if you weather this storm. As you look at the East right now, though, with the Bucks, the Nets, and the Sixers at the top end of this conference, who do you think is actually the best team at this point in the NBA postseason?
Well, now let me qualify. Is it with the injuries included?
Injuries included, where we sit right at this moment, Kesty, with the news we got today.
I kind of feel Milwaukee. I don't want to take anything away from the Sixers, but it makes me nervous every time that, you know, Joel Embiid lands and, you know, kind of hobbles a little bit on that knee. But Philly's right there, too. I mean, to me, I think you have to give the edge, if I'm quick to say it, to Milwaukee. But it's that close. And that's pretty amazing from where we were just a few days ago, where we're all penciling Brooklyn in the Eastern Conference Finals and probably in the Finals and maybe even the champion.
This NBA playoffs has been a lot like weather in New England. If you feel like you have a handle on it, just wait 5 minutes and something drastic will change. Kesty, have a great call tonight. We're looking forward to this one, man.
Thanks, Kesty.
I will. Enjoy that West Coast weather.
I got it. I'll say hi to that pool for you at the JW Marriott here. Mark Kestisher, our ESPN radio play-by-play announcer, going to be on the call for Sixers and Atlanta Hawks coming up at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN Radio. That is Game 4 tonight. Lou Williams and the Hawks, Seth Curry and the 76ers, presented by Indeed. Coverage going to start right after us here, 7 p.m. Eastern, on most ESPN radio stations. Coming up next, we update you on an incredible quest, one team's journey to attempt to do the impossible. And this actually has nothing to do with the Phoenix Suns, who now advance to the next round of the playoffs. Coming up on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
My favorite part of our show, Guests Hall of Fame. Well, this show has had an NFL playoff, a.k.a. Bachelor correspondent. Y'all remember Tyler C. We've had a space correspondent. Y'all remember my pops, Papa D, Peter Ogwebike. And now we have the newest Shanae Angola Jr. correspondent. And Junior is about to explain that in a few minutes. Shanae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests that join us, all correspondents, join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Now, Junior, do you want to take the time to set the scene? Because this is about to be super crazy.
Yeah, so I was made aware probably a half hour ago during the show of a phenomenon that, quite frankly, I was never before considering, didn't know existed. Apparently, according to a viral TikTok video, or a series of them, McDonald's has been harboring a sheet cake in its stores, in certain stores, for some time now that you can find and acquire. I was skeptical about this. I figured this is one of those viral sensations that you could make up right here. It is a full-sized sheet cake that apparently has Ronald McDonald on it there. I'm not sure what special purpose this was created for, if this was some sort of birthday party series. But in order to try and get to the bottom of this, we sent one man to go and do field research on this to try and acquire one of these McDonald's sheet cakes. We have now got it in the possession of someone near and dear to the show. And we are going to talk to that, our official McDonald's sheet cake correspondent, in about 10 minutes here on ESPN Radio.
McDonald's sheet cake correspondent. Cannot wait. And yeah, that blows my mind that they've had that. And like, normally people have like, oh, it's a secret menu. Like, how have we never known that McDonald's has sheet cakes? That's wild. How have you not known, Junior?
That's what I'm saying. Like, Janae, I have been fat for a long time, so I figure if anyone would have known that there was a secret sheet cake on a menu somewhere, it would have been me. So I feel like my chubby ancestors are all very disappointed, rolling over in their graves right now.
Disappointed, but you are one of the first, at least you're, well, I'm not going to give the hint. Did you already say the who it is?
No, we won't give it away right now. For anyone listening on ESPN Radio, you will find out our sheet cake correspondent coming up here in about 10 minutes. We get a live look
ESPN
at the process.
Plus, you know who it is.
Yeah, exactly. Little Easter egg for the Plus people. That's why you download Plus. Go and get it. It's not that hard.
Shanae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Stay with us as we keep that same energy. That'll be fun. But it was cool. We just talked to Kesty, Mark Kestacher, who you guys will be able to listen to throughout the night. Sixers Hawks. He'll be on the call there with John Barry. But he even put his hat in the ring for giving an answer on the best team in the West. And for a long time, the entire season, regular season, people said, oh, probably, you know, the Lakers, maybe the Clippers. And that's exactly what Kesty said. Hey, I'm actually riding with the team that's still in L.A., the Los Angeles Clippers. And that's because, Junior, you sort of trust what you know, right? You know that you have two certified stars on that team. You know that they can play defense. But boy, oh boy, it seems like the best playoff basketball in the West has come through the Phoenix Suns based on how they've been handling their opponents. And then on top of that, the Utah Jazz impressively has like the energy of a system team that can always, you know, well, given Donovan Mitchell's health, like show up in big fashion points wise on the night. So like, I'm sort of torn here. Do you have your take? Kesty's with Clippers. What's yours?
I go with Utah still. And it's so strange to me, Chiney, that in this year, picking not only the number one team in the Western Conference, but the number one record in the regular season of the NBA from the Utah Jazz is something that like sounds like, oh my God, people are shocked by this because we're not as used to it. Because again, most of us nationally kind of ignored this for a long while. But Janae, I am sold. They have not had Mike Conley for the entirety of this series, and it sounds like they're going to be without him again in the upcoming game. Donovan Mitchell said he was good when he asked about his status for game four. So I'm rocking with Utah, Janae. My eyes have been open for this team. I believe Donovan Mitchell's shown he can weather some of the bumps and bruises that come with being a player that does the things that he does. But even with this hot Suns team, Janae, I can't turn away from what Utah has shown, especially all season. Again, this isn't a short sample size. This is who they've been, and I'm finally just smart enough to believe it now.
Finally,
So who are you picking here? Suns, Jazz? Again, like Suns or Jazz being the sports talk debate du jour right now is a place that I did not to expect to be here in the spring.
Look,
going into summer of 21.
Lakers, look at me. We can still get a Los Angeles, New York final. Just it's Nets, you know, Clippers. In the West right now, I'm going with Utah as well. They have all of the necessary ingredients to win. And I know it's complicated with who's available and who's not, but it's also complicated with everyone. Because if you look at the Suns, you know, Chris Paul is still dealing with his personal situation with his injuries. Was it his shoulder and then his groin that both happened in the postseason? Serge Ibaka ruled out for the rest of the season for the Clippers, but he hadn't been playing the last few games. But still, he's someone that could have been a game changer and had performed pretty well. When you look at the Montrezl Harrell versus Serge Ibaka acquisitions for both teams in L.A., Serge was integral. And so he's officially out, had back surgery today. I look at those two things and say, like, no one's 100%, especially at this point in the year. I'm going with Utah. They have a potent offense that can knock down shots in droves. They have a star in Donovan Mitchell, which, mind you, I think it's hilarious. Like, when Stephen A's like, people need to put some respect on people. Like, for a while it was Dame, and then now it's become Donovan. So much so that he said that he's the greatest player in Jazz history, which jazzed a lot of people up. You have Rudy Gobert defensively that has been more than impressive. And three-time defensive player of the year, like back-to-back-to-back. And then they just have the ability to make shots and have their role players step up. So there's so many good things around this Utah team that can help them win in a variety of ways. I will say this, Junior. Competitive fire-wise, I love the Phoenix Suns. I love Chris Paul being in the moment. I love that Devin Booker has an opportunity to be a killer out there. But when it comes to the team, oh, gosh, and the Clippers, like, I like them too, but, like, you know.
It's hard to trust that, Janae, because the last game that we talked about here with the Clippers going off, Paul George finally did the thing. Like, Paul George finally showed up in the way that people want him to, and it's still going to be like, all right, we'll do it again. Like, we're never satisfied with that guy, and we probably never will be.
Yeah, which is why it's probably the Jazz, right? Like, the best combination of everything. They have star players, they have defense, they have offense, they have anyone that can step up, they have a great coach. So I'm still rocking with the Jazz out of the West, but look at us being able to just say that. Like, this is a new day.
A new day where the Phoenix Suns and the Utah Jazz are finally getting the national coverage that they have all been clamoring for so very long. And all it took was Chris Paul to come over and dominate in a year where he is 36 and we wrote him off in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. A remarkable postseason run. I'm glad we get to keep this conversation going. I hope that injury continues to become less and less a part of this wholesome conversation. But coming up next, a great philosopher once said, cake, 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 cake. If you want it, put your name on it. Find out which brand finally put their name on the cake next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
What it is, we've got a big game tonight right after this. Sixers, Hawks, 7 p.m. Eastern time, top of the hour, live here on ESPN Radio. But right now, it's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus, live from L.A. Janae Ogunbowale and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. I can't see my screen, so I just said it anyways. Love y'all. And we got to say thanks to everyone that came through today for us. Matt Barnes, NBA champ and also host of the All the Smoke podcast. Amazing stuff. Joined us. Mina Kimes, our own ESPN NFL analyst, and also Brooklyn Nets super fan, sweating some stuff right now because of the Nets without two of the big three. But maybe KD can hold it down. Always got a rhyme. And Mark Kestacher, who will be on the call, Sixers Hawks, in a few minutes, joined us and gave his take on the West and also the East. But Junior, we have a very, very special guest, don't we?
Yes, we've got a very exciting bit of news to share with everybody here. We have been chasing down one of the more, I think, important stories going on in sports the world right now. And so this is maybe the most influential bit of Keep That Same Energy that we've got. So why don't we fire away and keep that same energy with the most important story we've ever broken. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Because we made you guys aware of a situation developing on TikTok that apparently, according to certain users, McDonald's has been harboring a sheet cake in its very walls for some time now. And we knew that there was only one man for the job. And so a man took up arms and went in search of that sheet cake. He joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Jake Golic, former Notre Dame tight end and my younger brother and our official ESPN Radio sheet cake correspondent. Jake, you are now in possession of a McDonald's sheet cake. So walk me through your attempt to get this out of their custody.
Okay, so for those that don't know, I have no social media, so everything that happens in the world is totally off my radar. But this got sent to me by a friend that McDonald's apparently has a family-sized chocolate sheet cake for birthday parties. So it was a viral TikTok. Apparently there was a young girl in Omaha, Nebraska that started this thing a few months ago. So I figured let's give a call to a few locations around the Boston area and see who's got it. So I called four locations. They all said no. I was ready to give up. And then I called one more location, 178 Gardner Street, East Boston. Shout out to you guys for hooking it up. I called them. I confirmed they had it. I walked into the store, went to the register. I said, hey, I called a few minutes ago for the chocolate cheesecake. And three people were at the register and looked at me like I had no clue what I was talking about. And they said, sorry, that's not a thing. We don't sell that here. So I reluctantly walked out and I said, you know what? I'm here. Let's call back again. I called again, said, hi, I called a few minutes ago, inquired about a sheet cake. You guys said you had it. To confirm, she did have it. So I said, okay, please stay on the phone with me while I walk in. I'm the guy. So I walked in and she met me at the register. I said, I'm here to grab the chocolate sheet cake, paid for it. And then it took no less than 6 minutes for her to go find this thing in the back of McDonald's. And I mean, it's freezer burnt like you wouldn't believe. It's completely frozen solid. I wish I could have gave a taste test before coming on, but long story short, they do sell sheet cakes at select locations.
Jake Golic, former Notre Dame tight end, sheet cake correspondent, and also I think it officially makes you my brother-in-law, work brother-in-law.
That works for me.
That does. Jake, you mentioned not being able to taste test this. I am curious, what's the price point on this thing?
So originally on the TikTok, the lady in Omaha said it was $9, but pleasantly surprised for $6 plus tax at checkout here in Boston.
How many people can it feed?
It can comfortably feed my wife and I, but normal people, probably like a family of six, I would say it's comfortable for. So it's a decent-sized sheet cake for $6.
Wow. And how is it decorated? Does it actually have the Ronald McDonald logo on it that we saw on the TikTok?
It does. It has a very, very poorly drawn version of Ronald McDonald, what appears to be screen-printed onto the icing.
Was it fully frozen, though? Or was it, like, able, you know?
Yeah, you're going to thaw this?
It's thawing right now as we speak. But, I mean, it is the most frozen thing I've ever touched in my entire life. The shrink wrap on the outside was covered in ice when she handed it to me, so it's going to take some time.
All right, well, you know what? We have trusted the process so far. Jake, exemplary work as our sheet cake correspondent here. We look forward to further updates on the taste of the cake at some point. Thank you so much for joining us and for doing the Lord's work.
Thanks, Jake.
You got it. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Yes! Jake Golic, our official sheet cake correspondent, former Notre Dame tight end, owner of Orange Theories, and hopefully taster of cake very soon, Shanae, here. We've got to get to the bottom of this now.
Yo, the fact that it's super frozen and it's thawing out, and you're going to – are you going to try it, Junior? Like, are you going to find a way to have it saved for you to try when you return?
I think so. That or we have to do our own research here in Los Angeles now, Shanae. It's on us to take the McDonald's sheet cake phenomenon coast to coast here and make sure the people understand that this could be available to them nationwide. So I feel like that's our next step in all this.
Looks like we've got some homework while we're together here in Los Angeles.
Exactly. We've got to find a way. By the way, keeping that same energy, I'd be remiss in a show where we now get to finish talking about sheet cake in a way that brings us all great joy to go to one other thing that always brings me great joy, a good, good doggo. And that would be the winner of Best in Show at the Westminster Kennel Club this past weekend. None other than the Pekingese Wasabi won Best in Show, notching a fifth win for the unmistakable toy breed, a whippet named Bourbon, repeated as the runner-up right here. The very good boy, Wasabi the Pekingese, takes home Best in Show, Chinee. It is an absolutely floofy, wonderful little doggo.
Love it. And also, fun fact, on this day in 2016, Neko Gumake set a new WNBA record by making 23 straight field goals across three games. Keep that same energy.
How about that? It is a family affair on ESPN Radio today. Stick around. Maybe not more sheet cake, but definitely more basketball for the Sixers and Hawks coming up right here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Shanae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.